The Boise Fire, in the northeasternmost portion of Humboldt County, has doubled in size within the last 24 hours, now covering over 8,600 acres. Yesterday, its plume was visible from Eureka and Arcata, even as far south as Salmon Creek, causing concerns for local residents. However, the fire is over 100 miles away from Humboldt's city center, but only 4 miles southeast of Orleans.
Working my butt off trying to save our home we just got.
That was a resident who lives in Orleans.
My name is Trenton Peterson. I was born and raised out here in this area between Somers Bar and Orleans. So I have a lot of roots in this area. And it was just not even that many years ago, my father died actually in the Slater fire up in Happy Camp. That was 2021. So I've always kind of, since then especially, I've had kind of an awareness of fire. And then last year we had the Perch fire right outside of town. Now this year, there's the Boise fire, and it's close enough to really be threatening this beautiful chunk of property that I just bought for my family. So it's definitely a bit of an experience.
He stated that they are currently without fire insurance, which is a widespread issue for rural residents in Northern California. And having experienced another major wildfire where a member of his family passed, we asked how he is holding up.
It's scary. It's something that, unfortunately, I'm used to seeing, but it still is terrifying every time. It's fear, but it's determination as well. I'm not going to let the same kind of things happen if I can help it at all. There's something about us mountain people, we're very stubborn. We don't just back down. And although I'm scared, like I said, I'm determined to do everything I can. I'm up there today with a weed eater and a chainsaw, just clearing every bit of blackberry and brush and making it as fire safe as I possibly can. And talking to the fire crews, because they're actually using the road through the property as an access road, and trying to work as closely with them as possible so I can have an idea of what's going on straight from them.
At this time, over 600 personnel are assigned to the fire, and more resources have been ordered. Despite the Boise fire being the fourth largest wildfire currently active in the state of California, it has a low priority nationwide. But he stated that the crews he's spoken with are hopeful.
They're setting up a line on this end today with structure protection. They're actually getting engines and crews on the ground today and tomorrow. And for the last several days, we've been seeing them doing the retardant drops all along that ridge right outside of town. I actually have a bunch of family in fire as well. And a lot of them seem confident that it's not going to come into town, but it's still a very scary thing. I would say to always pay close attention, go on Facebook or whatever news source you have and make sure you are aware of the situation of what the fire behavior is doing. And if you have direct dealings with any fire crews, be as welcoming and as helpful as possible. Let them do their job and make it as easy for them as possible because they're there to save our homes.
The Forest Service has created the 2024 Boise Fire Facebook page, which shares regular updates throughout the day. Before news time, that Facebook page showed that the fire had grown on nearly all sides overnight, resulting in additional evacuation warnings and orders. Infrared radar showed that a significant slopover occurred on Forest Route 10N-10H, which serves as a divider between Humboldt and Siskiyou counties. For more, KMA News reached out to Adrian Freeman, a Forest Service spokesperson on the Boise Fire.
And what we're seeing is what we would consider to be a fuels and topography-driven fire. What that means is we have this fire established in the Boise Creek drainage. It's a very large drainage. It hasn't seen fire in probably 80 to 100 years. That means there's very heavy vegetation loading. And because of the topography and those fuels, we are seeing active fire behavior, especially in the afternoon as the inversion lifts And we get mixing of the atmosphere and warming temperatures above the fire.
Critical fire behavior was observed yesterday after the inversion layer lifted and the fire got into alignment with the Boise Creek drainage. The growth was primarily to the east, but residents from a 100-mile radius could observe the pyrocumulus cloud, which nearly reached the stratosphere.
Yeah, so what we had was not a lot of wind. And in a lot of ways, that's really good for fire spread, right? But what we saw was a huge amount of energy being generated from the fire as it chewed through that heavy vegetation. And as the smoke lifted straight up, creating a really impressive plume, topping out at almost 20,000 feet above the surface of the earth, which is exactly why it was totally visible in places like Arcata and Eureka.
When those plumes of smoke drop back into the troposphere, the lowest layer of the atmosphere, they can cause dangerous fire activity. However, she reiterated that this fire is not driven by wind or weather, but by the topography.
You know, there is convective activity in these large plumes, but we weren't looking at an unstable atmosphere. We were looking at, you know, quite a stable atmosphere. So at least at that elevation. So while we were seeing the mixing and the moving up, we were less concerned about the that potential collapse as we would be potentially with that convective activity.
Today, to the east of the fire, the community of Forks of Salmon was put under an evacuation warning. The Forest Service announced that they will be working with the Salmon River Restoration Council and will be holding community meetings in that region, indicating concerns of the fire running miles to the east. However, there are multiple different fire scars in that path. The Perch Fire from 2023, the Red Salmon Complex from 2020, and the Butler Fire Scar from 2013, which may help slow fire activity.
The thing about it is, as I said, this is not a wind-driven fire. It's mostly a terrain and a fuels-driven fire. So what it's doing is getting in alignment with the big drainages that are here. And then fire absolutely loves to run through narrow spaces, and it loves to run uphill. And it's got a lot of vegetation to make that happen. So we're seeing that spread a lot because that's the alignment with the big drainages.
The Boise Fire is located in Karuk Country, and the tribe has been making history with their efforts to bring fire back to the landscape through prescribed and cultural burns. We asked if these techniques have been applied in that region and if the Forest Service will be working with Native firefighters and fire lighters on this incident.
Yeah, absolutely. And to answer your first question, where this is in the Boise Creek drainage has not seen a great deal of fuel treatment. It's extremely inaccessible. It doesn't have a lot of access points. And so it in general has not seen a ton of fuel treatments. Where there have been fuel treatments are around towns, around structures, in areas on, you know, along roads and places like that. And every bit of that is absolutely helpful in sort of lessening the intensity of fires like this. You know, I think we all know that we need to be restoring those natural fire return intervals in order to stop seeing these really extreme wildfires. So it's very evident that there hasn't been a fire in the Boise Creek drainage for what is probably an unnatural amount of time. However, trying to get fire into that area safely would be very, very difficult to do. So positive side, there's been a ton of work collaboratively from the tribes and the Forest Service, along with, you know, many other entities around here. And there really is a culture of understanding about fire and the critical nature of having fire in this ecosystem. That area, the Boise Creek drainage, is just a place that hasn't seen a lot of that hazardous fuels work because of the difficulty of access and all those other things.
The fire has been rapidly increasing in size, while the containment percentage remains at zero. We asked when we could see that change.
So it, couple things. It, as long as we're in this weather pattern where we're seeing, you know, the inversion lift and active fire behavior, and there's vegetation for this fire to go through, I think it's likely that we'll continue to see these periods of really active growth. Now, we do have extremely mitigated conditions coming up over the next few days, and that should really help us in starting to build containment lines and things like that. I mean, we're really blessed right now by the fact that it's only in the, you know, mid-70s. It's a lot easier for crews to work in those conditions. And it's, you know, it's just good for everybody. We're getting really good fuel moisture recovery overnight. And that's a really big deal. So we're seeing really positive conditions for firefighting. One thing I will say is that this team has been in this country a lot. And I don't think any of us are going to be overly eager to report containment until we are absolutely sure that a fire is going to stay within containment lines. So I think you're going to see us being very conservative about reporting containment. And that's because we just know in the steepness of this country, in the heavy timber, in the difficulty with the dry conditions and the dry fuels, it doesn't make sense to claim containment only to have it rethreatened.
As of news time, no structures have been reported as damaged or destroyed, despite yesterday's significant fire run. In today's operational briefing, the section chief with Team 10 stated that if there is a concern for property, crews would pull away from the fire line and focus on structure protection. Freeman elaborates.
Yeah, so it's a big deal. You know, and a couple of things about structure protection, they are out in the community looking at structures. The other thing is that a very extensive structure protection plan was done during the first fire last year. So we are utilizing those map layers to make plans for structure protection. Now, we've had a lot of questions. Why isn't there an engine at my house? If we had unlimited resources, there probably would be, but we don't. We are actually fairly low in priority nationwide for resources, which feels sort of amazing given the size of fires that we've had. But in truth, places like the Great Basin and the Pacific Northwest have seen much more significant fire this year than we have, which feels amazing, I know. So we are actually doing really well with getting crews and getting engines and bringing those infrastructure protection as they get here. But it's going to take a while for us to build up those resources as they're coming off other incidents in California. So, all that to say, there is structure protection in place. We do have a plan for structure protection, but you probably will not see an engine in every single house. And then, you know, as far as evacuations are concerned, you know, it is really critical that you're tuned into the evacuations and watching what's happening. And you're doing that from the official site. I got a call today from somebody who says, my house is not in the evacuation area on watch duty. Well, watch duty is not an official source of information. It's tempting to use it because it's fast. And actually, I have it on my phone, and every time I see a new fire, I look at watch duty to see what that fire is and what it's, where it is, what its name is, with its automatic map-based reporting. But the other things that come out of watch duty are from volunteer reporters. And some of them are excellent and some of them aren't. So especially when you're talking about something as critical as evacuations, you really need to be tuned into the official site. And that would be your Humboldt County Sheriff's Office of Emergency Services or your Office of Emergency Services, same with Siskiyou County. And get on those Code Red or Everbridge or Genesis programs that will alert you to when evacuations are happening in your zone.
Both Humboldt and Siskiyou counties use the same online evacuation app. You can find your zone and a list of the official areas under orders and warnings at protect.genesis.com. The Forest Service has also established a website that has a link to every official source you need to stay informed. That's www.linktr.ee/2024 Boise Fire SRF. You can also email questions or concerns to 2024.boise@firenet.gov or call the public information line at 707-572-4860. As for what the next few days will look like in terms of fire growth and behavior, and if the fire could continue to double in size, she said,
"You know, I don't think I'd speculate because it totally depends what drainages it gets established in and aligned with. So I don't think I would actually speculate on that. I think it could. You know, I'm looking at it right now and it's not doing the extreme behavior that it was yesterday, although that was quite a bit later in the burning period. We also have some clouds mixed in with it, so that's good. But I don't think anything that a fire does out in this country would surprise me anymore. So I think stay tuned. I think that's the best thing. You know, that's hard in these communities where you're often out of cell service. You know, I know this is extremely frustrating for people who don't necessarily live in these communities but are watching this happen out in these rural areas. You know, stay tuned. Stay informed, and continue to follow those official sources."
A list of official links can also be found on KMUD.org. Just click the Fire Resources tab. You can also visit the KMUD News Instagram and Facebook to see photos of the fire and yesterday's pyrocumulus cloud. Our newsroom will continue to share updates.